We haven't seen each other in a while, and we're getting ready, and this is happening, episode 125 of the Dan and Cody Podcast.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody Podcast.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Hi, how are you? My name's Dan.
And my name is Cody. It's good to see you.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
I do a podcast.
This do you?
Weird. It's called the Dan and Cody Podcast.
Oh, that's interesting. I do one called the Cody and Dan Podcast.
That's so weird. But like, I do it and like, Cody's never around.
Right, right. I do it too, and sometimes it just never gets recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sometimes Cody does it.
Right.
But he's not around. I wasn't sure.
Sometimes I do it, and then Dan just cuts my voice out. It's really weird. Like, he goes through and he like simply cuts around it, and it's this weird podcast where I'll ask a question and Dan answers it, and then he cuts out the question
and I just cut it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually what happened on episode 124. Cody was actually there.
I was there the whole time. Yep, right.
We thought it best to just sort of wipe you out.
Absolutely. And I was completely wiped out. That's the best way it was.
Just to keep it fresh, you know?
I'm happy to be back.
Welcome back.
I'm glad the Dan and Cody Podcast survived a week without me.
Whew, it was tough.
But it makes sense, man.
It was hard. It's hard to podcast by yourself.
Well, you know what? I didn't listen to it, and I just haven't had an opportunity, to be honest with you.
You're why the numbers have dipped.
I'm the reason the numbers have dipped. I just told everybody not to listen, you know?
Come on, man.
I know. I'll do better this week, but it's good to be back, man. It's good to see you.
Thanks, man. It's good to see you, too.
Somebody had a big birthday.
Somebody did.
Somebody had a very big birthday.
It was, yeah. Who?
You, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Were the big, you turned the big
36. 36.
That's awesome, man. How do you feel?
Do you feel
36?
Yeah.
Have you gotten your physical?
Nah.
For your family's sake?
No. What do you do that every year?
Every year you should have a physical, Dan.
Nah.
What do you mean, nah?
I'm good.
You don't go to the doctor?
I don't feel.
You don't believe in that witchcraft?
I don't feel bad.
What do you mean you don't feel bad?
I'm waiting to feel bad.
Yeah? Did you hear, you know, when Kevin Smith had his heart attack? You know what he said he had? He said he had the Widowmaker.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that guy ate like 20 years worth of fucking Twinkies.
Well, you've got 4 to 5 months of marathon in you.
Yeah. Oh, I had my physical this year. It was March 17th. 2018.
That's not a physical, man.
It's called the LA fucking marathon, man.
No,
I'm strong like bull.
No, this is
finished.
Insane.
Completed.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
I don't need a doctor to tell me that I'm an athletic specimen.
So you believe yourself to be, you believe yourself to be top of the line, prime fit, LeBron James fit is what you're
100%.
Telling me. I'm going 48 minutes in a game 7, not taking a break.
I compete at the highest level.
Okay, this guy. Okay.
I'm an athletic competitor.
Hey, Jenny. Yeah. Yeah. If I was to ask you to rate Dan along the lines of his athletic prowess, where would you put Dan in relation, 10 being LeBron James and 1 being Kevin James? What do we got?
Kevin James is very agile.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jenny just said Kevin James is very agile. Oh, right. What else? What else, Jenny?
Okay, if we're talking Kevin James and LeBron James, I'm going to say that Dan is a 7.
Mm.
Dan is a 7.
What's up?
Wow, I'm actually very surprised by that number.
That's starting 5 on any NBA organization.
I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand. Yes, Cody, what would you like to say? Well, I believe I'm going to go ahead and rate Dan's athletic prowess right now. I would probably say 6.
6?
I'm going to say 6.
Come on.
Is that
10 being LeBron?
10 being LeBron.
I think 6 to 7 is a really accurate.
It's Jenny saying 6 to 7 is a very accurate number.
So you're saying I'm a little more than half the man LeBron James is.
I absolutely, yeah. Dude, I would probably say I'm a 5.
You've seen the stuff that James does. He does all of his own stuff.
Jenny, stop trying to sell me that Kevin James is fucking athletic and good.
That's Kevin James, the mauled cop.
Yeah.
That rides around on a fucking scooter.
95% of his material is about naps. Like fucking pizza.
The LeBrons, the James boys are working it, and Dan's between one or the other. So
on a scale of Kevin James to LeBron, James.
I would definitely, you know what? Honestly, I would probably put myself personally at like a 4.
That's going to be a new thing for us, the James scale.
The James scale, like, and we can use that from a beauty scale.
Yeah,
LeBron James being 10, Kevin James being 1 or 0, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll call it the scale of James.
The scale of James. Yes, exactly. I love it. I love it. Anyway.
But, I mean, no, you know, like I always say, can 36-year-old Dan beat up 35-year-old Dan? I think so.
You're telling me that Dan on his birthday could have beat up Dan the day before?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
What did Dan day before learn?
You always got to ask, guys, always ask yourself, can the person I am now beat up the person I was? And you need to answer yes.
Is this a masculinity thing? Like there's a necessity for you to beat up
yourself? It's just a thing yourself? I made up.
Yeah.
It's just a thing I made up.
Okay. No.
I bet there's a lot of people who are like, dude, 21-year-old Chris kicked shit out of 40-year-old Chris. It should never be that.
It's going to be.
Always kick your own ass.
28-year-old Dan would beat your ass. In a physical hand-to-hand combat.
I doubt
28-year-old Dan would kick your ass.
28-year-old Dan?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah. I think 28-year-old Dan isn't going to get nearly as winded.
There's where was a natural, 28-year-old Dan?
Yeah, where was 28-year-old Dan?
He lived in fucking... Did we live in Van Nuys then? Oh, he was a bitch. 28 Dan was a bitch.
Dan's going back in time. Dan's talking some mad shit.
Hmm? Oh, I did. I did P90X. Yeah, I completed P90X. But I was running like.
Tell me, Jenny. What were Dan's? Okay, here we go. Let's say when were Dan's abs the finest? What year? Give me Dan's abs being the finest year.
Honestly, in 2010, when we both did P90X.
Dan had the finest abs.
He was very in shape.
Oh, shit.
P90X
28-year-old Dan is kicking Dan's 36-year-old ass.
Yes, he is. 36-year-old Dan would take 28-year-old Dan.
Okay, LeBron.
12
okay.
rounds.
Let's go.
Endurance.
Okay, endurance. All right.
I would fucking weed him out.
All right, Jenny. Okay, Jenny. LeBron James, 10 on ab scale to Kevin James, 1 on ab scale. Where is Dan at the age of 28? Wow, Dan's an 8 to 9 with the LeBron James scale. So he's leaning more towards LeBron James at 28. Now, this is tough. It's going to be hard for you to hear this, Dan. Jenny, today, where does Dan fall on the Kevin James, LeBron James ab scale?
I told you, like 7.
Oh, so 7. His abs aren't any different from like their one scale down? His abs.
She just wants to ride home tonight.
I'm just playing games.
She just wants to
ride
home.
I'm just playing around. Dan's getting real nervous. He's uncomfortable with me.
I'm not uncomfortable. I state my claim.
Dan's going to beat up 28-year-old Dan's ass.
Yeah.
I disagree. Dan's going to put out a poll on Instagram this week. Who's going to determine 28-year-old Dan? You know what you should do? You should do 3. You should do the Dan with the bleached hair.
Oh yeah,
do that, Dan. Which Dan would
that
kick
Dan
his
was
ass?
A bum. That Maybe Dan
would,
was a bum.
What would be great is if we could do kind of a breakdown of like Dan by the years.
Oh, I have
on
like,
photos, and then we can break it down and be like, and then we do like a fantasy draft. And I will take Dan at 28.
Like I got fourth grade Dan.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we can get Justin to be involved.
I got fourth grade Dan who had the globe shirt.
The globe shirt
in
good.
his school pick.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, this is a good idea.
Definitely. Maybe we can get those movie guys on the show to do it, too.
The Dan draft.
The Dan draft. Who is Dan? Who'd kick Dan's ass?
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway.
But look, I watched Creed on the airplane, finally.
Oh, Creed is such a good one.
It's a good movie. And Rocky says something took to Adonis, and he's like, look in the mirror, and that is your toughest opponent.
Right.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
Every time.
Like, you are the person that stands in the way of your success. So you got to be, and like, he was like, now shadow box with your reflection. And he was like, but when you punch, what's happening?
And you're getting hit.
And he was like, he's punching back. Right. So you got to dodge quicker than you're throwing the punches.
That means you have to move faster than the speed of light.
That's right. And it's figuratively true. And
it's not actually true.
It is actually true.
You're not going to dodge light.
Guys, I'm telling you can time travel, and I'm telling you can dodge light.
Right.
Put your mind to it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you got to fight yourself. Always ask yourself, can I kick my own ass?
Can you?
And you better say yes.
Every year. You can just make that claim every year.
Yeah. That's right, man.
All right.
But the birthday was good. Went to Miami. Had a good time. Weather wasn't that great, but, you know.
Okay.
It happens. You can't control the weather. Mox saw Granddad.
Oh, and did she love it?
She loved it. They had a big old hug at the airport. It was cute. She was kind of a little mess at dinner at times. Watching Shrek probably 30 times.
She loves that Shrek. She's watching it right now.
Is she watching it right now? That's the problem. And, like, what do you think about kids and the devices?
I think there needs to be a separation of device and state.
Yeah, I agree.
Here comes Mox. She's running at Dad with, like, some power, and she comes and she hugs his leg.
Hey, Bubba.
This is just a play-by-play of the father-daughter relationship, and now she is officially sitting on Dan's lap, and she is wanting to be involved in the podcast.
That's
and
right.
Moxie, what do you have to say for yourself?
Say hello.
See, she says hello. That is the first time we hear Moxie say hello on the Dan and Cody podcast.
That's
Moxie,
it.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Hello.
Hello. Hello again.
Can
smart
you say
baby.
Moana?
Can you say Moana, Moxie?
Okay.
Dan, will you please let her speak? Stop trying to speak for her. Classic Dan. There we go.
In the water.
No, two.
See, she's beautiful, and you, what's interesting is she sounds just like her dad.
Yes.
So it's like. What? You got something?
In the water.
She's just staring at me with those dead eyes. She wants to attack me. She wants to fight me. Ooh, whoa, that's good.
All right, back to Mommy.
Thank you, Moxie. That was Moxie's cameo.
Yeah, thanks for
on the Dan and Cody podcast. The first time we've got to hear Moxie speak. You remember her as an unborn. Now you experienced her as a 1 10/12 Moxie. Please don't touch that.
Oh,
thank
God.
You for touching that.
Thanks, bud.
Anyway, no big deal.
Who?
So Dan was in Miami celebrating his birthday with his family,
but
and now he's back.
Here's the thing about that.
Yeah.
And
devices and kids. We're going to go back to devices and
kids.
Yeah,
we have the pad. We have the...
You got the iPad.
We got a little pad for her.
Yeah.
It's not like hers. She can't just have it, you know,
right.
All the time. But God damn it, if you want to have like a reasonable dinner with a conversation, it's kind of hard to have that. Without
having that,
allowing them to watch the screen.
Yeah, you definitely need to distract them, right?
Yeah, and with us not being in our own home where there's activities for her to do and things like that,
it makes it more challenging.
Yeah, so
yeah,
she watched a lot of screen this
right.
trip,
right?
And it was just like the only way,
right? Honestly, you know what, man. I have no judgments on you on how you raise your kid because, honest, I don't know.
If anybody has an alternative to having a freaking dinner with your wife,
right,
without a pad, tell me. I will gladly.
You know, I imagine my child at a little less than two will be sharpening knives.
And don't just send some bullshit like, "Why don't you interact with your child more?" Because I do, goddammit.
Yeah.
Like, constructive. I want constructive.
Maybe it might be helpful if you did things with your child. Is that constructive?
you got to be specific. Like, what actual
activities
activity have you done without a screen to keep your child
right
under influence at a
right.
dinner?
Or absolutely, something, absolutely. You know?
Freaking tough, man. You're going to learn. You got the doggy.
Yeah, so that is a new addition to the Dan or the Madeline and Cody lifestyle. We picked up a dog Sunday in Sacramento.
He's so cute.
He is such a great dog. His name's McFly Frederick, and he is actually sitting, laying right next to me now. He has become kind of one of my bestest buds in the whole world. He loves hanging out with me, man.
He's like a...
He loves hanging out with my wife.
He looks so wise beyond his years because he's got the gray coat.
He's got like this ashy, like gray and brown underneath it. So it's like he's got roots almost. It's weird, but he's a good dog, man. He's a little mouthy, but he is 9 weeks old and he is awesome. I do have to say, it is a little strenuous.
Yeah.
Puppies are like weird. He keeps me up at night. My wife specifically, she's really good about taking him out and let him use the bathroom. But
how often do you have to take him to the bathroom?
Well, like right now it's all about training, right? So for us, it's anytime we feed him, we take him out. Anytime we take him out of the crate, he goes right outside and then he uses the bathroom. So, you know,
how what's like a block of sleep for him?
A block of sleep? Well, to be honest, we've been going to bed because we go to bed early.
Yeah,
we go to bed around 9:30, and we've been putting him in his crate about that time the last two nights. Mm-hmm. I've only had him for 2 days, right? So we put him in there, but he's woken up both nights around 3:30, 4:00
with the
he used the bathroom. Let me out, daddy.
The scratching on the cage.
Yeah, he scratches a little on the cage. The cage doesn't give him much opportunity to scratch, but we went to the doctor today, the vet, to get his like first checkups. And the vet gave us some handy tips on how to get him to be in his kennel right at the gate because he cries
for
10, 15 minutes.
Is that the PC term for cage?
Yeah, like his cage.
They call it a kennel?
Well, there's a kennel or his... What is it called, Madeline? Crate.
Crate.
Crate. Okay. Like, you know, how when you ship art, that's what we do with dogs. We put a dog in an art shipment.
It's a cage.
It's a cage.
There's bars.
Absolutely, there's bars.
There's bars and there's locks.
It's to make it sound better.
Madeline says it's to make it sound better. So
go in your crate.
Go in your crate, puppy. But McFly's fantastic. He's a good dude.
What were you saying? He cries for 10 minutes?
Yeah, every time we go to bed, the last couple nights, we put him in his crate and he just... Yeah. And he wants out.
And is that the equivalent of like the baby cry it out?
I think so. We got to Ferberize them, as they say, with babies, right?
Yeah.
With children, it's the Ferber method where you let them cry themselves to sleep.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same idea with the pup. You let him get comfortable and then he just kind of falls asleep.
The thing that sucks the most probably about babies and dogs is that there's contradictory studies and articles and research on virtually everything.
Everything. Because everyone is like its own... sample, like all babies are different for the most part, right?
Yeah.
None of them are the same. The same methods don't work.
But everyone's it's selling all about you environment. How to. Everyone's right. Selling you how to.
Right.
Like
right.
how to maintain a healthy...
I think there's a general way of doing things. However, you have to kind of customize those ways to each individual. It's kind of like tailoring medicine. It's the same idea. Tailor raising your child because each child that you have is going to be different.
Yeah.
And what works for one doesn't work for the other. And that could be environment, that could be timing, that could be a number of things.
Yeah, but there's people out there trying to make a buck on the suckers and take advantage of like people who genuinely like, I want to raise my kid right. Like, I want to raise my dog right. And then there's someone out there who's like, I know exactly how to do that. Here's how to.
Yeah, and Madeline and I were a little concerned at first, but luckily we found a book. What was the book titled, babe? Yeah, we picked up the book, I Just Got a Puppy, What Do I Do? And let me tell you, the advice in that book, it's life-changing.
Copyright, yeah.
1996.
Yeah, it's about 20 years old, so.
Nice.
But yeah, I think actually one of the hardest things, we went and picked up the dog, and I didn't think that it would be an emotional thing for me.
Yeah.
But we got the dog, and we got the dog in the cage.
Did you weep?
And when we're driving away, like the hardest thing for me, this is so weird that I got so oddly emotional. So oddly emotional. Madeline's like sitting there. Yes. She's like iron heart, right? And I, and he is like crying as we're driving away. And yeah. He's in his cage, right, in the back of the car.
Are you like, we're and taking he's him away from his mother.
And like for me, I just start like, I can't handle it. I'm like, tears are streaming down my face.
What?
Because I'm thinking like, I am taking this guy away from the only family he's ever known. And it's his rightful family with his 11 brothers and sisters or 10 brothers and sisters and his mother. And I am just streaming, like weeping. And I'm like, I can't even speak.
Was
I can't
to
even
Men
speak
on?
To my wife. I'm like, so no, Boys to Men wasn't on.
It was, Mama, I know that's your jam. Mama, you know I love you.
I love you.
Mama,
I know I love you. Anyway,
oh my God, for real?
I was a car accident. My wife's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm Benjamin Button tears right now." Like I'm just like I'm crying so hard because it's like it's the end of Benjamin Button here. I'm just like struggling.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Anyway,
that is absolutely amazing.
But he's a cool like little addition to the family, a big responsibility until he's a full-grown pup where all I have to do is just kind of let him out the door to do his thing and
yeah.
But, you know, he'll be a challenge over the next couple months. But after that, I think he'll be great.
After a couple months, you'll be beating him down, kicking him and stuff.
Right, absolutely. That's how I treat all animals.
Like, hey, McFly, God damn it. Stop shitting.
Stop shitting, McFly. Anyway.
Did you eat my book?
Did you read my book?
Did you eat my book?
Did you eat this book, McFly?
You anyway. Son of a bitch. No, you guys, I'm very happy for you both. I know you all were searching for a pup, and you came to this one, and you guys are fur parents.
We're fur parents.
I haven't sneezed a bit, so this is all good.
Did you take any pills?
Of course.
Oh, you did? Course, okay, yeah. Good. Okay.
You just take a little Claritin D before?
Did you smell dog when you walked in the house?
Did not.
You did not? Did Jenny, not did you smell dog? Jenny did not. Okay.
And we're, I'll let you know. I'll be honest.
Please let me know because smell's a big thing, and we don't want to. We realize we got a dog, and maybe we can't help that. But
I'm hyper aware. It's like when I was telling you about. I can tell when a TV's on when I enter a room.
Right.
I can instantly tell if there's a pet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I'll let you know for sure.
Did you tell him he's lying?
Yeah.
Yeah, McFly's literally like laying right next to me. He's. The head's
he's just chilling.
He's nestled inside of me. He's stretched out.
He's a little podcast homie.
He is.
Well, I'm so he's happy for you guys. He well, is
thanks,
cute.
Man. He's pretty damn cute. He's pretty damn cute. He's going to get all big and his hair's going to get in front of his eyes and he's going to walk around. But he does, yeah, he's great. He does this cute little thing where he drinks water. I think I told you this. And then he puts his feet, he likes to just tap his feet in the water bowl. And then he like keeps doing it and then he does it faster and then he just splatters water all over the place. He's got web feet. He's meant to be kind of a sport dog.
Now, guys, and Michael listening, we're going to save that sound bite of Cody just saying that was so cute and adorable. And then in a year when he's still doing that.
Absolutely.
On episode 225, right. Cody's going to be like, my fucking dog won't stop putting his goddamn paws in his dish.
Absolutely.
We're sending him back. And then I'm going to play you that soundbite.
Please.
Yeah. I'm doing it.
As you should. Anyway.
I will do it.
Hello there, Dank Odies. I am Joe Merle.
I am Phil.
And together we are Those Movie Guys Podcast here with your weekly movie recommendations. And Philip, this week I'm going with 1993's California with a K. Got to spell it with a K. This is Brad Pitt, David Duchovny, Juliette Lewis, Michelle Forbes. It is a modern day noir where you get to see Brad Pitt play a crazy serial killer. It is almost a buddy road trip movie in the fact that they are traveling across the country and then they discover some things. I don't want to
really. Is this like beautiful Brad Pitt?
It is. It's that like Thelma and Louise. But this is Brad Pitt wearing a trucker hat with a rebel flag on the
like
front
Thelma
of it.
Thelma and Louise Brad Pitt.
Yeah, real sexy Brad Pitt. And even sexier, David Duchovny. So you can't really go wrong. That is my choice this week. Phil, what do you got for us?
I got 1997's Val Kilmer classic, The Saint.
Oh, beautiful movie.
Elizabeth Shue is also in this. It's not rated that well meta-wise, but it's one of my favorite ones of his. All the it's espionage, but it's more like Dana Carvey, like the all the
master
skies
disguise,
guy.
Master disguise,
turtle.
No, this was Val Kilmer, man. This was Val Kilmer.
So many amazing and sexy, like outfits he puts on. And he talks with all these accents, and he's just like. It's like he knows women so well, he can just do anything he wants, and they just
this,
fall right
I
over.
Feel like this was his last great role, right before he kind of fell off and did some weird things. But the scene is amazing. Me and my brother used to watch it all the time. It's a great, it is a good spy flick. And you're right.
Yeah. I mean, there's the Russian hit mob. I didn't care for those losers that much.
But they're there. They're doing things. They're doing things.
The dude that had the cane. Got real annoying.
You know what, though? It's a good flick. So that's what we got for you this week. We've got California with a K and The Saint with Val Kilmer. So for those Movie Guys podcast, I am Joe Merle.
I am Phil.
And we will be back next week with more movie recommendations.
We're here, man.
We are here. And guess who's not here anymore?
Who's not here anymore?
Roseanne Barr.
Show's been canceled. I saw that today.
Dunsky
because of a...
Got the axe.
Because of a racist tweet.
Yep.
A racist tweet to a former Obama aide.
Yeah.
She basically said she's a mix between what?
Planet of the Apes and...
And ISIS?
And yeah, like is some sort of Islamophobic.
Oh no, it's the Brotherhood of the Muslim Brotherhood or whatever it is.
Right.
So she said that this person is a mix between that and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. She said Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ.
Which is this this woman that is a former Obama aide.
Horrible.
Anyway.
I cannot believe that shit. I can't believe it.
Yeah, they had some other people had spoken out about it and disagreed with Roseanne's statement, and a lot of people were offended, and that led to the cancellation of Roseanne. So, you know, it got through half of one season.
Half of one season.
Or did it run a full season? It started in February, didn't it?
It's on Netflix, so it's...
No, it's not Netflix.
No, it's ABC.
It's ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Netflix will pick it up. Anyway.
I bet Fox will pick it up.
Well, somebody will fix. Yeah, Fox might pick it up. That's interesting.
Like the show is interesting because her character on the show, which is I'm assuming is just her, is a Trump supporter.
And right. Like
the first episode was her and her.
Yeah, it was a big deal
arguing about Trump.
Right.
So
right,
now
right.
Trump like loves her.
Right.
And he's like, "How about Roseanne? You let's do those ratings. Like this is what people want to see."
Right.
And like,
right.
So like that's now like that's their show.
Right.
That they're all surrounding. So there's going to be a massive outpouring for her.
Absolutely.
And then there's going to be this other clamoring of like good riddance.
Right.
But the thing about, and I talked about this on the podcast last week that you didn't listen to, about Aaron Schlossberg, the freak in New York, the lawyer. Did you hear about him?
No.
He was in a salad restaurant in New York. Like one of these like fast food like salad places.
Okay. And like a chopped salad place.
Yeah,
okay.
Employees are using Spanish and he's like yelling at the manager, "They're using Spanish. They shouldn't be using Spanish in my country. They're immigrants, they're illegal, and I pay for their welfare, blah 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 blah." And it went on Instagram and this guy got
fired, actually. Uprooted. I think I saw that, yeah.
Kicked him out of his lawyer office. They had a Mexican, like, well, not Mexican, but like a Latin cultural, like, festival near his house. To like, they had like a mariachi band, like, come and like play around his
Everybody's
area.
Everybody's just walking around speaking Spanish as he walks out. He's like, "Hey, how's it going? Hola, amigo."
Yeah, but like these two stories, they correlate because, yes, free speech is free speech. I told you all, you can say whatever the hell you want, but. There's codes of conduct where you work. And if you say some bullshit, racist crap, you're going to get the axe today.
Right.
It's going to happen. But it's interesting because it is Twitter. She is a comedian. And comedians, you know, they make fun of appearance. They make fun of religion. They make fun of race. They make fun of culture. They make fun of bodily functions. They make fun of everything.
Yeah, but there's a line between making fun and making a... It's a contextual thing, right?
Right.
When you're stepping that line of race,
mm-hmm.
and you're calling somebody a monkey.
Yeah, there's
and
there's
somebody's African American. Yeah. I mean, like that's like
there's key trigger words.
You can't. Yeah, there are key trigger words. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That, absolutely.
And I totally agree with her getting canned. For the record, I want you all to know, I'm glad that the show is canceled. And I don't condone what she says, but I know in this day and age, comedians in general are fearful that their craft is basically not, that they won't be able to do it. You know what I mean? Because people are so hypersensitive.
That
now.
People might be hypersensitive, but if you do it properly and you're actually good at what you're doing, you don't have to worry about that. You can tiptoe the line between what you can joke about and what you can't. And, you know, the biggest thing I think with comics is they always have to speak from truth mm-hmm. as to like what they're experiencing in their real lives. And you can't try and speak to something that you don't know anything about.
Right.
And it's funny you mention this because I kind of have a question for you. And I asked my wife this earlier today because there was a guy out on the corner of the street and he's like, he has a wheelchair, but he's standing up outside of this wheelchair and he's like prancing around, but this wheelchair looks legitimate, right? Yeah. And I thought to myself, what is more offensive? A man that claims to be paralyzed in a wheelchair, but isn't, mm-hmm. or a person that claims to be black.
And isn't. Hmm.
What's more offensive? Now, I'm not asking you what...
Like, to me?
No. But I was using the black... You know, blackface in general is one thing. That's an offensive thing. But you have to... I'm just trying to relate them more closely together, right? So, like, the Rachel Dolezal gal or whatever
mm-hmm.
that claims to be black, like that she believes she's a black woman.
Yeah.
But she's not. She was raised in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents are both white. However, she did raise several black children.
Yeah.
Her son is biracial. And then she also raised her brother who was adopted by her white parents. And then she ended up adopting him because her white parents were terrible to this child.
And the child was all black, right?
And the child was all black.
Yeah.
Along with a sister as well that was all black.
Right.
She took them in and raised them. And then I think a part of the reason she did that, I mean, this is just a side point, but I think a part of the reason she identifies as black is because, A, it was easier for them
mm-hmm.
to say, yes, I have a black mother than say, I have this white woman that isn't my mother but is my mother.
Right.
I have this white woman that isn't my mother but is my mother.
Yeah.
It's easier for her to identify that way. Her problem was she took it too far.
Yeah.
She claimed it to black people in her community that she was black.
That she was definitely black.
Right. And she wasn't. But I guess coming back to the question, what's more offensive?
A homeless guy in a wheelchair.
No. Not a homeless guy. It doesn't matter. A person claiming to be paralyzed that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Or a person claiming to be black that isn't.
I think it's more offensive to be the person in the wheelchair claiming that they're paralyzed, but they're not. Because in that circumstance, I think the objective there is to deceive people and then receive a preferential treatment in a certain way.
Okay.
I think claiming to be black and not being black, well, in this country, doesn't help you socially
mm-hmm.
because you're at a disadvantage, clearly, in the workforce. When it comes to fucking police brutality, all that type of stuff, and you don't receive preferential treatment in the United States when you're black. So I would say you make it more hard on yourself attempting to live a black lifestyle, whereas someone pretending to be paralyzed would potentially live a better life paralyzed.
Interesting.
And receive more treatment.
What if I claim to be black and claim to be paralyzed.
then they both offset.
Right. Okay, then it's an evil.
You might as well just pick not do any of them.
Okay.
But I mean, when I first heard about the Dolezel story, I was like, this bitch is tripping. What the fuck is wrong with her? But then did you see that documentary?
On Netflix.
Yeah.
I watched that documentary on Netflix with Madeline, and it's just like, it's interesting to hear her story, to see where she's come from, and to know that her motivations, you know, and this kind of comes back, I've had this conversation with a couple people, but it kind of comes back to this idea of like, what makes you you?
Yeah.
Okay. Like a lot of people that she tells this to, especially ones that are, you know, from black descent or whatever it might be, their response is always something along the lines of like, you don't know what it's like to be in a black person's shoes. You can't. Mm-hmm. You'll never know. So you can't claim to be a black person. But, and I'm not giving any excuses to this woman in the way she approached this or she's done any of this.
Yeah.
But in her mind, because she's so closely tied to black children or raising black children or helping identify with that, there's something more upstairs that I think is maybe slowing her down.
Yeah.
Or affecting her process. But you can't honestly look at somebody and say, I identify as a black woman. Cool. I identify as a cucumber.
Yeah.
But the reality is I'm not a cucumber and you're not a black woman.
Right.
I mean, and until society is willing to break those identities and say, you're just a person.
Accept. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like gender. Well, as long as we've got those boundaries, which, you know, those are social constructs, in my opinion. These boundaries are all social constructs.
Yeah. But then there's the argument. I mean, obviously this documentary was made to put her in a better light.
Absolutely. Yes, and no, but it's more heavily leaning toward her being in a better light.
Right. So after seeing it, I'm like, dude, this woman is black, you know? Because there's a lot more about being black than actually having the pigmentation.
The documentary, it brings up the question. It brings up the idea of what does it mean to be black?
Yeah, because you can be black and then other people would be like, you ain't black.
Right.
You know?
But that's the question of the documentary.
I live with that bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you do because you've played on both sides of the line there.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's like it proposes the question. However, it doesn't give you a good answer. And it shows that this woman is terribly flawed.
Yeah.
As all humans are. Right. Yeah.
But then look at like Eminem. I'm sure he identifies more with black people than white people.
Absolutely.
And
because he grew up around it.
Yeah, no one could tell fucking Eminem, like, dude, you didn't live a rough life, or you didn't. And then what is being black at living a rough life? You know, there's that question too.
Right.
But it's like he's been around black culture way more than probably you or I.
But the question on that then is, yes, but is it black culture? Poverty is not black culture.
Exactly. Yeah.
So identifying with the street,
yeah,
versus like maybe a middle class black family is very different.
And does that award you like more blackness, you know,
because you were poor?
Right. Because you lived around like guns and violence or hung out with black people and smoked weed. Like, are you more black because of that?
Right. Right. And again, that's that question of what is blackness?
Yeah.
Right.
Is Eminem more black than a black person who had a mother and a father and they were both lawyers and raised in like a great neighborhood and all of that? Some would argue maybe yes.
Right.
Some would be like, are you kidding? The other kid's black.
Right.
That's just it. So
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a really crazy.
Yeah.
It's a really intense question to kind of to unpackage and to come up with some kind of real answer, I think is not something that the Dan and Cody podcast is going to claim to be able to do.
I can tell you 100% who is black and who is not. You just ask me, I'll weigh in on it.
Dan's got black dark.
Black dark. Oh, yep, definitely black. That guy's black.
That guy is definitely black.
Nope, not black over there.
But his name says Eminem.
Sorry, he's from the streets.
Yeah, he's from the streets, anyway.
Anywho, but yeah, I mean, that's just, it's where we are in the world with that whole, how do we get to that? Roseanne?
Well, that, and then I ended, that racist tweet that Roseanne said.
Yeah, and like comedians getting people, like the outpour of all of that. Like this woman, Michelle Wolf.
Right.
She did that correspondence dinner and attacked the way Huckabee's daughter looked.
Sarah Sanders Huckabee. Yep.
Yeah, and like called her like a.
She said she used the ash of what was it? She used the ash of something for her eyeliner. To be honest with you, I found that I found her comedic act to be in pretty bad taste.
Yeah, I mean, she was
personally. I thought she was out for blood.
She was ruthless.
It's
like this is not like,
and maybe that's just the way she came across.
Like this isn't a roast. This is a correspondence dinner.
And in a way, correspondence dinner have like appeals like a play on a roast.
Yeah.
But there's a funness to them.
Yeah, this is like roast with frickin' like tea and scrumpets.
Right.
Yeah, this is roast light.
Well, it's roast light, but they've been pretty aggressive with these things before in the past. So
yeah.
But anyway. I don't know. I found it pretty interesting, right?
Yeah.
One of the most, what was it? What was the joke here? Let's see what the, I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. She burns facts and then uses the ash to create a perfect smoky eye. Like maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's lies. Anyway, that was a pretty harsh joke.
Because her eye is like a little kooky, right?
Well, that, and she also uses a lot of like darkness around her eyes to kind of help, maybe help cover some of that. I don't know.
It's just like, is dark comedy going away because people just can't handle it anymore? You know, I worry about stuff like that. I mean, we obviously don't say shit that is in line with anyone who is horrible on the earth, but you know, there's a conversation to be had of like, what if someone hears this and gets mad and like tells my work, you know, like what the fuck? Could they fire me over that bullshit?
Right.
It's like, should people be afraid of their brand as a comedian if they say something or tweet something that is just meant for jokes? Like, if Eddie Murphy had Twitter in the 80s, the 90s, like, could you imagine, or Martin Lawrence, or just any of these, like comics who are, that can, like, sling the funniest but fucked up thing about a person?
Right.
Could you imagine what their brand would be today if we were as sensitive? It would be crazy. It would be insanity.
It would be insanity. So this week's
true crime. Someone is using the law to ruin somebody's life.
Is this Trump and immigrants?
Nope.
Okay, what?
Michelle Levin gave an honest review on Yelp about a gynecologist's office. And she's been forced to spend $20,000 defending herself against him in a defamation lawsuit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope she's got a fund that.
Yeah, she started a GoFundMe, but basically the New York woman, she gave a Manhattan gynecologist a 1-star review on Yelp and ZocDoc. I guess that's
she said it was a 1-star review, and the review was, he has cold hands.
Michelle Levin said she found Dr. June Song of New York Robotic Gynecology. Well, that's why you went to a robot gynecologist.
A robot gynecologist. And that gynecologist felt that you committed slander in one way or another.
Right. She went for a woman's health online checkup in July.
Okay.
1 week later, the doctor ended up billing her insurance company $1,300.
Wow.
For a new patient visit and ultrasound, but the bill included $427 that wasn't covered by her plan. So he just sort of tacked on some extra nonsense. And then she wrote, "I gave an honest review of my experience to warn others, and he's trying to silence me. It's a nightmare."
Huh.
And the annual visit was supposed to be free, but he just made her do all this other shit. She's like super embarrassed that she had to go to like social media to like tell people about it, but she's out of money. So she started this GoFundMe because like clearly she's right. This guy like duped her.
Right, exactly.
But she can't afford $1 million lawsuit.
Like, right.
This guy's after her for $1 million now.
Right.
And that's something is super interesting because I'd never really thought about it that like yeah, anyone can write anything on Yelp. And people do. There's like tons of like Yelpers.
That's the whole point. Like people, I don't know if they get paid to do that.
Yeah, but I know some. I've heard of people like they've done so many Yelp reviews that they're like, "Oh, I'm like a Yelp expert now." Like, can you have like a following on Yelp?
I mean, how many McDonald's can you review?
Or like bars, but like people take it super serious. But she says everything about me. Her one and only visit has caused her emotional distress and panic, and now they want me to cough up an extra $500 for services that I didn't even need. Damn.
Well, that's too bad, man. You got to be careful with doctors, too. I don't know.
She says, "We live in a country where someone can sue you for anything, and the victim is forced to pay for their defense. There's no way out. I've been June Song's victim for almost 1 year. I've dealt with this in silence. Going public is not ideal for me, but I feel it's my only choice. Coming forward is hard for me to do. I never thought I would post this GoFundMe, but I simply can't afford the cost of defense."
Wow.
So, like, is it backwards in this country?
Well, the...
Like, if you have a ton of money, this is what Trump does to people.
Right, exactly.
It's just like, hey, I owe you this much money? No, I don't. I owe you this much money. Sue me. And I'll counter-sue you,
yeah.
And then you won't get any money because you can't pay the legal fees. Like, that's a defense. It's a legal, like, mechanism of, like, fuckery.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, they also, and, you know, this is interesting because my buddy Andy, he makes this claim, and he makes his valid point, that the law at this point is so complicated that you can't defend yourself because you don't know the intricacies of the law. And that there are now so many types of different lawyers that are so specific on so many things because the law has become so complicated.
Yeah.
And it's complicated because of a number of things. Because people want to make it a little more complicated than it needs to be. Because you need kind of somebody that understands that language.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are so many different types of situations out in this world that can happen that you need to be able to like prepare yourself for and mm-hmm. protect yourself. And that's kind of where the law comes into play. And that's what you got to watch out for.
And just like the hoops in general. It's
hoops,
like
yeah.
You're daring people to be like, okay, you want to jump through these 10 hoops? Go ahead. I dare you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I dare you because you won't. It's craziness.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeez. Moxie's over here. She's doing a side-by-side, telling a story. Anyway.
So in this case, I think the crime here is the U.S. government. We're putting the system on trial. Something's got to change. Because people, seriously, you have a website. She,
hey, man, that same woman has the right to sue that man if... she can prove that he was out for blood in
right.
regards to this.
And if she loses, could she sue Yelp?
Of possibly.
Like, look, you're providing a service that I'm now in trouble for using.
Possibly.
And you promote it. I'm out all this money because your website gets so much
right.
visibility, it ruined this guy's.
It's very business. Possible. It's very possible.
Yeah, then it's just round and round we go, and then who gets rich? The lawyers.
Well, a lot of people. Yeah, absolutely.
Yelp should help this girl out. But that true crime was submitted by our buddy Justin Winters.
Well, thanks, Justin. We appreciate that, man.
Thanks, Justin. And everyone, you should listen to So I Married a Movie Geek with Justin and Chrissy.
Yeah, check it out.
Love you guys.
I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Roomblocks, they research hotels in the area that you need the rooms. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us, they'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything. Okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out, get all them rooms!
Tell me about Evil Genius.
Evil Genius. So there's this Netflix documentary called something Evil Genius, right?
People are freaking out about it.
They're freaking out about it. It's kind of crazy. I watched it when I was in Chicago over the last couple weeks. And it was really interesting because...
You binge it?
I binged it.
How many eps?
There's only 4.
Oh, okay.
It's a real simple watch. They're each like 45 minutes a piece.
Oh, so you
45 can just, minutes to an hour. You can zip right through it.
So you can just blast through, huh?
But there are... But the story goes, and it starts off with a man goes into a bank and claims he's got a bomb. He wants $250,000. They give him like $7,000, and he walks out. He's got a cane that is an actual firing gun, and he literally has a bomb strapped to his neck.
This shit sounds like Saul.
Right. He has a bomb attached to his neck, cranked down with a timer on it. Police have him surrounded. They have him handcuffed with his hands behind his back. Uh-huh. He told them, I have a bomb strapped around my neck. All of them scattered. He's in the middle. They're all watching him, and you watch the bomb explode.
What?
So basically, this guy was apparently told to go on a scavenger hunt to get these things, to get this bomb off. He said he was jumped by a couple black men and that had strapped this bomb to his chest and told him, do all of these things, and then we'll take off this bomb.
So the police fucked up. They didn't let him complete his tasks.
Yeah, it's the police's fault. Not really. But as you proceed to watch this whole, like... As you proceed to watch this whole true crime, you end up uncovering who are the people behind everything.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm telling you guys out there listening to us right now, check it out. It's crazy.
Is it better than Making a Murderer?
Nah, Making a Murderer was pretty...
That was in depth.
I mean, it was that was like 10 episodes, too. This is not as heavily detailed. But I highly recommend it. I don't want to give anything. I don't want to give too much away.
Right, right.
But that alone... Get you going.
I mean, Jenny, she watches every single true crime everything, so I can't take her advice on what to watch.
I recommend you watch it, man. Binge it.
Okay.
You'll dig it. It's a crazy story. And when you watch it, then we can get into it.
He still won't watch The Jinx yet.
He won't watch The Jinx. You are a bonehead.
Have you seen The Jinx?
I've seen The Jinx, man. The Jinx is actually what caused all of these true crimes to kind of move forward and come out.
The problem is I can't watch The Jinx because now I know everything already.
No, man, you don't, though.
You don't.
You don't. You don't know everything because I think it's 8 episodes.
It's amazing.
And it is so in-depth. Jenny's
like
saying it's amazing.
I already watched it, it feels like.
Trust me, man, watch it. I could watch it again. It's good.
Jenny, stop it.
Uh-oh. Dan's upset.
Enough.
Anyway. I want to give a shout out to everybody that's in California. I just want to give you guys all a heads up. On the 5th of June, which is next Tuesday, we have the California primaries for governor, senator, congressman in your in a lot of districts.
Mm-hmm.
Go out, vote in these primaries. Your vote matters. For governor, whoever has the two highest number of votes will go on and go up against each other in the general election, which will happen the, what is it, the second Tuesday of November, Madeline, or the first Tuesday? I believe it's the first Tuesday of November. Madeline says it's the first Tuesday of November. So get out there, get informed, go out and vote in these California primaries. And if you're not in California, find out when your local primaries are and get involved in the community and go ahead and go out and vote. Voting is a simple thing, but it's important. It is a civic responsibility to you as an American. So please go out and vote. And that's what I have to say on that. Dan, thoughts?
Rock the vote.
Yep, Dan's not going to vote, but anyway.
If you don't vote, then don't you dare post anything on social media about how you don't like laws or people running the government.
Yeah, because we all have the opportunity to change if we don't like the way our government's being run.
Let's get these fuckers out. As
a collective, we can all come together and vote somebody out.
Yep.
There are a lot of places in this world where people don't have that luxury, and that truly is a luxury. So, you know, bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, boom.
So, Dan, what do we got for this week's Champion of the Week?
The Champion of the Week. Yeah.
All right. So, this was an email submission by one of my fraternity brothers, Joshua, who I've never actually met.
Oh,
I graduated from Frostburg before he was
around
in the fraternity. So shout out to Frostburg SAE, Phi Alpha Gentleman, and Phi Alpha Joshua. So, I mean, this is a long email and I feel like I can't do it justice by paraphrasing. So to break it up, maybe we'll each read paragraphs.
Sure. We can do that. Yeah.
Of this awesome story. So he starts off. And his name is Josh, and like me, he went to Frostburg and was in SAE, but you weren't was in. You are in, motherfucker. You're always SAE. He's been binging our podcast daily to get through work, gym, and his commute, and he enjoys it very much. We always have great banter and flow throughout. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, dude. But he has a story. So over the past weekend, Sunday, May 20th, his dad had surgery back in April to have his prostate cancer removed and decided to cut the grass on my parents' new home in Leesburg, Virginia. He was talking to his next-door neighbor casually before getting back to cutting the grass. When he went back to cutting the grass, he took a few steps and began feeling funny before he collapsed.
At this time, the neighbor ran over. As his dad was unresponsive, his neighbor began performing CPR for about 6.5 minutes before an ambulance showed up. His dad had suffered a widowmaker heart attack with an 80 to 90% blockage, which he needed to be defibrillated back to life. So they have to shock your heart back into place. And this widowmaker, just so people know, is the same thing that Kevin mm-hmm. Smith had. And then I was talking to Dan about earlier in the podcast about
that'll end you.
Running. This is the thing that happens to people. There's a time frame in our lives. And Madeline and I were having this conversation today where your age, you're more susceptible to this because you don't get things checked. So make sure you check this. But anyway, back to this. His mother at the time had been running errands and wasn't home. Another neighbor knew she worked at George Washington University and somehow got in contact with the dean of the university to get in contact with his mom about the situation and met her at the hospital, staying by her side for support.
My brother and I, who still live in Maryland, got the news and drove the hour and a half to see my dad in the ICU. where he was conscious and talking after having a stent put into release the blockage on his heart.
Now, just so people know what a stent is, I don't know why I know this, but it's basically a kind of a, they put this mesh piece into the heart where the valve is, and they can't clean out your veins and your guts, basically. They can't clean it out. They can't remove this blockage. I don't know if there's anything that's out there that removes it, but they essentially, what they do is they put it in there and then they expand it so that the valve expands and it allows more blood back into the vessels.
Interesting.
That's what a stent is.
So as of yesterday, Tuesday, May 22nd, my dad was released from the hospital healthy for being through the ordeal. Upon some insight from the neighbor who performed CPR, saving my dad's life, I came across a Facebook post from the local Leesburg Volunteer Fire Company who showed back up at his parents' house Sunday evening with lawnmowers and finished cutting his parents' yard.
Wow. One hero being my dad's neighbor, Brandon Sutter, who was able to perform great CPR until paramedics arrived to relieve him. And another hero being the members of the volunteer fire company who made the decision to go back to his parents' house to finish cutting the yard.
That's so awesome. And he attached an email, a picture of the Facebook post. And yeah, it...
Like, this is such an awesome
it's
story.
Awesome, man.
And this is such, like, these are two people that are heroes of the week. You have a community that is looking out for somebody that... no, these people didn't know this individual. And, I mean, the neighbor knew him. But to be able to go out and say, hey, you know, we want to do something nice for somebody that's not capable of doing it. I mean, this shows people come together during tough times, and there are people that look out for one another.
And, like, the guy's dad was he went to the hospital. He was fine. Everything was good. Job done. You could leave it at that. And this is an amazing story. But the fact that out of the kindness of these paramedics' heart to go back and finish the job that he was doing,
yeah,
is like it's pretty awesome.
So our heroes of the week are Leesburg Volunteer Fire Company, as well as Brandon Sutter, the neighbor of our boy Josh, who ended up performing CPR on his dad during this tremendously dangerous time in his father's life. And thankfully, Brandon Sutter saved it so that Josh could continue to spend time with his dad.
Hell yeah.
And we all know that for those that have lost loved ones to these types of pains, like anytime you lose a family member, a parent, you know, you treasure those moments you have.
Yeah.
So
champion of the week,
Leesburg Volunteer Fire Company and Brandon Sutter. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations. You've done it.
And great story, Josh. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And thanks for giving us a little piece of your personal life. We appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
All right, Dan Hill.
All right, Cody. It's great to see you again.
It's good to see you, man. I mean, we haven't seen each other in such a while.
We haven't. Like, I miss staring at your lips, saying words.
I miss doing that LL Cool J lip move that I do when you're around. And I think it's important that we take this moment to just kind of stare into each other's eyes.
Yeah, and just say things, you know?
Like, I like that.
The way the light hits your 5 o'clock shadow, it drives me podcast bananas.
I don't think I've ever seen a man like you grab and put on a t-shirt the way you do.
The way Moxie looks at you type on your computer... It rattles my cage.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The way that you walk down the street and you look at other people's dogs makes me question the way I look at other people's dogs.
I got a flurry of just joy in my bones when I walked into this place and you were out back grilling chicken with your shirt off.
The shine and sheen that comes off the top of your head is not only blinding, but the glare also allows me to feel like, for a minute, I've seen God.
Mm, yeah, I do that on purpose.
Oh, wow.
It's like it's a thing I put on the head. Mm-hmm. It's called See God.
Oh. With S-E-A-G-O-D.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sea God.
Sea God. Okay.
Oh, man. Welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. I'm glad to be back. Hope to keep plugging along.
Dude, we got a review.
No, we didn't.
We sure did.
Dan and Cody Podcast got a new review. Dan, what did this new reviewer say about the Dan and Cody Podcast today on the Dan and Cody Podcast?
Here we go.
Here we go. He's pushing the buttons.
Here we go.
All right, we're still.
And we thank you for all of these reviews.
Yeah,
man.
Guys, go on iTunes, give us a review. We appreciate the support, appreciate the love. But our newest review, Dan, we always read our reviews online. So if you do write us a review, let us know, send us an email, let us know. We check them periodically. But go ahead, Dan, read the review.
This just in, May 22nd. It's titled Great Cast. Duh.
Exclamation points. If there's not any, I'm going to put some there.
By Bebop2126.
Oh, Bebop2126. I love the mystery behind your name, Bebop.
This is a great podcast. I like this podcast.
Thank you.
I know that you will like this podcast too. I know this to be fact.
Wow.
I mean, come on. I edit the thing.
Michael Tab is Bebop212.
Wah, wah.
Wow, that was a real snoozer of a review.
Thanks, Michael, for the review.
Thanks, buddy. We super miss you. We love you. Thank you for a review for sending a review to your own show.
Any review is a good review.
That's true.
And that was unsolicited, too. And so we'll take it. We did not say Michael leave us a review.
And on that note, thank you guys for listening to the Dan and Cody Podcast. Have a safe week. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and share us and tell your friends about us. We love all the support.
Bye.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody Podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Ain't nobody played itself down the shit, bro. Right.